Shalom Aleichem.
Shalom Aleichem.
And now you're going to say Aleichem
Shalom. Aleichem
Shalom. Okay, good. All right, this is Hebrew Word Pictures, and a little bit about myself. My name is Dottie Garrison, excuse me, and I'm fighting a little thing today. So, I'm from Lubbock, Texas, and met my husband in Israel, and we've been married for 40 years. And I do appreciate everybody that came out today. I got it. Okay. I've been teaching Hebrew for about 8 years, and it is just something that is so simple and yet so profound. We can learn so much if all you ever learn is the alphabet. There's an ancient Jewish saying about this little boy that came into a yeshiva in Israel. And he didn't know all the prayers, and he didn't know all this. All he knew was his ABCs. And so he sat there in the purity of his heart saying, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, and went through the alphabet. And he was worshiping God with it. Because you have this progression of worshiping God. For those who didn't already get these, I don't know how many new ones we have come in. If we had have one per family, that would help. I didn't make quite enough, I don't think. So if you... and if you're in Kohler Lodge, I could give you another one tonight. Okay. Okay. This shows the progression. There's a little light out there that talks about it talks about the spiritual significance of each letter. Excuse me. So we're going to go through and do our Hebrew word pictures. Each letter in Hebrew has a name and is often a word. So you have this, the first letter is Aleph. And if you change the vowels just a little, you have Aleph, which means 1,000. So you have this teaching, there are 6 Alephs in the very first verse of the Bible. And so there's a teaching about 6,000 years until the millennial kingdom comes, because you have that in the very first verse of the Bible. So each letter has a name. The word pay, for instance, is the word for mouth. It's also the letter for P. And the word for ayin is... Uh-oh. If you're coming in late, come get one of those. Uh-huh. Thanks for coming. If we could do one per family, Terry. If I could do one per family, I'll make you some more later. Because, yeah. Would you make sure she has one? Thanks. Just hold on to it and give it to somebody that comes up. Each letter in Hebrew has a name and is often a word, like the letter P. In English, it doesn't mean anything, okay? But in Hebrew, the letter P also means mouth. The letter ayin also means eye. The letter dalet, if you change it just a little to delet, it means door. And so it goes through lots and lots of the letters are also words. There are 22 consonants, each of which represents a concept as well as a phonetic sound. So in Hebrew, you have each letter has a word concept, a meaning. So Aleph talks about the strong leader. Bet talks about the house or inside. Gimel, to lift up, and so forth. Each one also has a numerical value, and that's on your handout as well. Vowel points, dots or dashes above or to the left of a consonant were added in the 7th century to ensure correct pronunciation. So we talked about in the other class how a Torah scroll is written exactly the same as it was 3,000 years ago. And they, in an original Torah scroll, they have no vowels. So imagine reading your newspaper without any vowels. You know, the word cannot, you know, with no A and no O, that sort of thing. So so in order to ensure the correct pronunciation, the Masoretes went ahead and put it into the Hebrew text, which I really appreciate. So, our first letter, the Aleph, stands for the strong leader. The strong leader or the first. Okay, number two. So each of these letters is also going to be a number. So number two is bet. And the word picture is the inside or the house. You come inside the house. The very first letter in the Bible is a bet, and it means house. And it is not just a bet, but it's an enlarged bet. Now in Hebrew you have no capitals, no punctuation. And so when you have an enlarged letter, it really means something. So the very first letter in the Bible is a bet, and it means that he wanted to bring us into his house. He created this beautiful place for us, this beautiful earth, and he, the whole purpose of the Bible is to bring us back to his house. So it also means inside. I'm sorry, those are all the handouts I made. I guess I didn't have enough faith. If you could share with someone, or if you're in Kohler Lodge, I'll give you one later. I'm sorry?
It's on the internet.
It's on internet. Yes, it is. Okay, so the gimel is the third letter, and it comes from the word gamal, or camel, which means to lift up. And if any of you have ever been on a camel, then you know that camel is going to lift you way up fast. Our fourth, Our fourth letter is dalet, which means door or pathway. Dalet. And the way that you say door is delet. So again, you see how close each of these letters is to an actual word. Our next letter is hey, or window, and it also stands for the breath of God. So, you know, you're probably saying, well, does it mean this or does it mean this? You know, that's our natural Greek mindset. But in the other class, we went over how in Hebrew, you can have more than one way of looking at something. So in Isaiah 53, is it talking about Yeshua or is it talking about Israel? It's talking about both. So in the Hebrew way of thinking, you could have different perspectives and still be okay. And we were taught so much about this little tiny box of Greek thinking. It has to be my way. And in Hebrew, it is several, you know, different ways of looking at things. Wow. Okay. Next we have Vav, which is a hook or a nail. It also is a conjunction. So when you have a Vav at the beginning of a word, it means and. And this is the most used letter in the Bible because it's a continual love story to us. And it's all interrelated and intertwined. And so all of it is important. It isn't that the book of John is more important than the book of Leviticus, like we always kind of thought. You know, that doesn't really apply to me, but it does. All right, our next letter, number 7, is Zion. Zion means weapon or seed. To rest. The last one of these means the rest comes in from the number 7. Okay, so Zion is a seventh number, and also on the Vav, man it was created on the 6th day. Next we have Chet. Now this is a sound that you may not be familiar with in English, so you might want to practice it. It's like an H with an attitude. Okay, you have a deep-throated H, like a challah. It isn't really challah bread, it's challah bread. Okay, and we're going to be Israeli. Okay, and so the chet means a fence. So a fence, what does a fence do? It keeps the little sheep inside, together, happy, and it keeps all the predators outside. And if you stay inside the fence, then you have life. If you go outside the Torah, outside of the fence, then that's where all the lions and tigers and bears, oh my, are. Okay? So we don't want to go out there. Okay. We're all children at heart, you know. All right. Next we have Tet. And Tet stands for the serpent. If you notice, a Tet kind of looks like an upside down Het. So the opposite of life is death. And spiritually, you know, how can we go through this, you know? It's like, why do we need the serpent in our alphabet? Because bad things happen. And what happens when bad things happen? Our God is so sovereign and so much in control that he uses the serpent. He uses evil things to turn around for good in our lives. So you have the tent begins the word tov, which in Hebrew is good. So if I said yom tov, have a good day, then it begins with a tent. Our 10th letter is Yod or Yud, depending on Ashkenazi or Sephardic. And it means the hand of God or his very essence. The very essence of God is a Yod. All right, and that's our number 10. Our next letter is Kaf, and Kaf stands for the palms of the hand. So we take the hand of God in our lives and we bring it down and into our hand and become an extension of him. Just like the moon has no light of its own. It's just a big hunk of rock out there in the sky. But when it allows itself to be the reflection of the sun, then we have light in the world. And so when we allow the hand of God in our lives to extend to our hand, blessing our children, blessing other people, we cover them. The kaf also means to cover the palms, the work of our hands. Next we have Lamed. Lamed stands for the staff or authority. It also is close to teaching and learning. teaching and learning are always the same word, because a good teacher never stops learning. You're never too old to learn. So if you noticed, with the yod, we started counting by tens. So with the yod is 10, the kaf is 20, and now the lamed is 30. And it stands for authority and teaching. How old was Yeshua when he started teaching?
30.
He was 30. That's how old a priest is when he starts being a priest. And so our high priest began at the age of 30 as well. Our next letter is Mem. It stands for water or chaos. There are two forms to the Mem. It can be open like this or closed. There's a passage in Isaiah that talks about Yeshua having the government upon his shoulders. In Isaiah 9:6. Thank you. I didn't have that written down. So in Isaiah 9:6, you have the only instance in the Bible of a closed mem inside of a word. Because the final forms, there are five letters that have a final form at the end. And those letters can only be used on the end of a word. And if you have a final form in the middle of a word, it's like, what is going on here? Because this one, the regular mem, stands for an open womb. The final, the closed womb, mem stands for a closed womb. So that whole passage is talking about Messiah and how Messiah will have the government upon his shoulders. And that word has a final mem in the middle of the word, saying that Yeshua, the Messiah, would be born of a virgin. So, see, like I said, if all you ever know is the alphabet, you can see this final mem in the middle of a word. Our next one is a nun. Nun stands for faithfulness or activity. The fish darting in water, activity. And because of that action, it also stands for life. Back to the mem, remember that was 40, the number of testing, water, chaos, 40 years in the wilderness. And then the nun is 50, and it stands also for jubilee, for freedom. 50 is the number of freedom. Sorry, sometimes I hit two at once. So our next letter is samek. And it stands for support, or to lead upon. Also containment, so something that is contained, because it looks kind of like a circle. And then the ayin is a silent letter. It's going to only say the vowel that's underneath or beside it. And ayin means eye, or to perceive. And the 70 stands for the 70 nations. Let me go back just a second to Samic. Oops, that's not back. Okay, all right, thank you. Samic, okay. Samic is kind of in the middle here. And there's a teaching about the Samic that there are 60 words in the Aaronic blessing. And there were 60 soldiers or bodyguards around King Solomon. And so there's a teaching that when you say that blessing over your children, that you're putting this protection around them. You're putting them in this containment of the Word of God. So when you give that support to your children. Another teaching is the Samach is the containment of your mind, and the ayin is your eye to see, and then the next word is the pe, which means mouth or speech. Okay, and if somebody would look up Exodus 13:9 for me and read that. It's gonna tell us something, but let me just go through real fast. The sonic is our mind, the ayin is our eye, and the pe is our mouth. So we should think first, and then see, and see what's going on, and only then do we open our mouth. Okay.
It's being first, sonic.
Sonic. Sonic is the containment of your mind. Okay, so you think, you see, and then you speak. Okay, I'll let you look up Exodus later. But it goes with those three. Zadi stands for righteousness. And also it stands for hunger. It can even mean enemy, like czar. You know, the way that we get to be righteous sometimes is by hunting and thirsting. What did he say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. And so sometimes we have to hunt for the word, and we have to look and dig. And so we get to do that when we're like 90. That's about when we start catching on. Our next letter is Kuf, which is 100. And the Kuf means holy. It's the word for holy. It's behind. The original word picture was like the sun shining on your head from the back as you were leaving your house to go out to the field. And it's also Kuf, or Kof, is the word for monkey. So how does this come together? You have the word for monkey and you have the word for holy, because we have a choice. We could act like an animal, or we could act holy like our God. And so he gives us that choice every day. Next we have the resh, which means head or human reasoning. Now see how close the resh is to the dalet. The dalet, there was only one tiny little extension on the right side of the dalet that makes it a dalet. Dalet stands for the door, Yeshua, the door. The resh stands for human reasoning. If you're on this side, you might want to move over here because I kind of block the view. So, alright, so beginning with the kuf, then our numerical values are going to start counting by hundreds instead of tens. So kuf is 100, resh is 200. And another word picture for the resh is false. And part of that is the gematria of that. So all together in our alphabet, we have 400. And the resh is 200. So you would think resh should be halfway through. But resh is that human reasoning. And so it has truth in it, but it's lying to us. Okay, so it's a false sense of security. Next we have the sheen, which is means to consume. The old word picture was teeth. The teeth consume your food. Or fire. Fire consumes. And the number for that is 300. And we have a couple examples in the word about, when Samson tied 300 foxes' tails together and lit them on fire and let them go through the corn of the Philistines. And so it consumed that field. Sorry.
This is our review.
I'm sorry?
Reviewing.
Oh. Yeah, I could have showed you Dalit while I had it back there, huh? Okay, and finally we have Tav. Tav means a side or the covenant, the ancient side for the Tav was a cross. And so, you know, when we first came into the Hebraic Roots movement, we were with some pretty orthodox people that said, oh, you can't wear a cross. You know, that's very offensive. Well, the ancient Tav, which means the sign of the covenant, was in the shape of a cross. So, all right, word pictures. Here we have the first letter, or hey. And like I said, you might want to move if I'm blocking your view. The hey means to behold or reveal. And then we have Av, which is the Father. So when you put them together, you put the hey inside and you have Ahav. Because every time you have a vowel, you have a syllable. So you have the first letter, the ah, with the little t underneath it, that makes it say ah. And then you have the little t under the hey, that makes it say hav, ahav. Ahav means love. And so what is the word picture for that is to behold the Father. Okay, our next one is the very first word in the Bible is Bereshit, which is the middle one here, Bereshit. So Bereshit means inside, the numerical value is 2, and then you go back up to the top one here, the last letter in the Torah is Yisrael. And so it ends with a lamed. When you put those two together, then you have lev, which means heart. And when you put the gematria of those two together, you have 32. And there are 32 teeth in our head. So when Yeshua said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you use you have 32 teeth in your mouth, and to me that's symbolic. So the first word is Bereshit. The last word is Yisrael. When you put them together, the Lamed with the Vet, we have Lev, which is heart. And this is something that really pertains to our conference this year, to our Sukkot theme. You have, on the very top, you have Ish. And I've transliterated it there, which means man, Ish. And then you have woman, which is Isha. So inside of the word Ish, you have a Yod. In the very middle. If you look in the very middle, see the blue in the middle of that top word? That's a yod. And see the hey in the second word on the end? That's a hey. When you put them together, you have yah. So when man and woman come together filled with the Spirit of God, then they can show the world Yahweh. What happens when Yahweh is not in their midst? Then all we have left is Aish, which is fire. And there are many marriages today, hundreds and thousands of marriages, without the Spirit of Yahweh in their midst. And they are nothing but fireworks. With God in man and woman, the world will see Yahweh, but without Him, nothing's left but fire. And another thing about this is, another layer of this, I think, is the very first word where the low yod is at the top, you have a man that may not show his spirituality because the yod is inside, within his heart. And with a woman, You know, we show our spirituality. We're up there dancing or we're doing our thing. And our emotions are on the outside, visible to everybody. And sometimes women will judge their husband, saying, oh, he isn't a spiritual leader because he isn't out there doing what we think he might need to be doing. But a woman's job is to take, just like you would go down into a well and bring up the water. We take that yod from inside our husband and we bring him up and we lift him up so that the world will see Yahweh in him. It says in Proverbs 31, her husband will be known in the gates. And if we don't do that, then, you know, we end up with fire. Okay. And I'd already talked about how pay, the letter P in Hebrew is pay, which actually means mouth. The word ra in Hebrew, the resh, with a little ah there, and then the ayin is silent, so you have ra, means evil. You put them together and you have paro, which means evil mouth. And I just wanted to put this in the presentation right after the Ish and Isha, because if we say evil words to each other or to anyone, then who are we being like? We're being like a great king who thought he was ruler of the world, who ended up as fish food. All right, so we don't want to end up like Pharaoh, do we? Fish food, yeah. Okay. So if we have allowed our mouth to speak out the evil, then what do we need to do? We need to consume that house and return to Yahweh's house. So here we have shuv, to return. And then we have the tav, return to the covenant. And when you put those two together, you have at the bottom, Shabbat. Shabbat. To return to the covenant is our Shabbat. Rest. That's when we can rest in Him. When we return to the covenant. Okay, let me know if I'm going too fast. All right. Oh, back up. I should have asked before I did it, right? Uh-oh. Let's see if I can remember how to back it up. I'm not doing well here.
We're praying.
Sorry. This is the easiest way to do it. Okay. Shabbat.
Hallelujah.
Back when I've been retired for several years from teaching, and so back in my day, we didn't quite have all this advanced equipment that I'm trying to learn how to do. So I apologize.
You don't need to.
Shabbat. Everybody have Shabbat? And you may not be able to take down each word. You know, you'll be able to do that later. All right. All right, this is one of my favorites, Shalom. Okay, so you have the Sheen, that means to destroy. You have the Lamed, that means authority. You have the Vav, which means something that connects us. And finally, you have the final Mem, which means chaos. What is Shalom? Shalom is the one who destroys the authority connecting us to chaos. And this is what Yeshua did, Hebrews 2:14, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. He absolutely destroyed his authority on the cross. And when we allow Hasatan to upset us or lead our lives, cause fear, that we're forgetting that our shalom is in the one who paid the price for us. Are we ready? Just so you have the Hebrew down, okay. You can just look up the verse later. Are we ready to go on? Yes? Good. All right. And here we have the witness of the Shema. Both the ayin and the dalet are enlarged in a Torah scroll, and they form the word ed, which means witness. Ayin means the eye or to perceive, and dalet means the door. So when we perceive Yeshua as the door, we become his witness. Yeshua said, I am the door. No man comes to the Father but by me. And when we see his provision for us, we become his witness. Okay. All righty?
No.
Okay. The word picture for Hebrew is to see or perceive. The ayin, we start out with the ayin. The letter ayin means to see. That's where we got our word eye from in English. So to see or perceive. And then we have my favorite word, which is brit. Or Brit in Hebrew. Brit is the name of my grandchild, my only little granddaughter, so that's my favorite word in Hebrew. And then we have, when we put the ayin in front of the Brit, then we have Ivrit. And Ivrit is how we say Hebrew. To be a Hebrew is to see the covenant. So Abraham was called the first Hebrew. Ivrit, to see the covenant. Does it help if I sit down? Can you see better?
You need a rest anyway.
Well, I'm not worried about that. All right. Yeah, there are a lot of letters there. I'm going to give you a little extra time. Ivrit. I know there are a lot of letters there. It's a little harder word, but I just think the word picture is so beautiful for us to see the covenant. It'd be like our father Abraham. The one little dot on the bottom means E. That's how we say E, like feet, E. And when you have the two vertical dots, that just means to stop. Okay, so that's the end of the syllable, Eve. And then we have another little one dot which says E. So Eve, Reet. Eve, Reet. In the middle word there for Breet, you have the bet, which has a... Shiva, it has that two vertical dots, and when it comes at the beginning, when the two vertical dots come at the beginning of a syllable, then it's just going to be a very short sound of the consonant, the breet. Okay? Oops. We have more time than I thought we would. Good. Okay. I know this looks pretty involved, but I just think it's the coolest thing, so I had to include it if we had time. And my husband's going to tell me if we run out of time. Okay. Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. Yeshua of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, in John 19:19. Have you ever wondered why the Pharisees got so upset when they put that sign above the cross that they went to Pilate and they said, you can't put that there? Because alliteration was a really big thing in the Hebrew world. And so what it said over his cross was Yeshua. So when you take the very first letter, you start on the right-hand side there in the second little box there where it says Yeshua. See the where the blue is? The Yod. So you have the Yod. And then Jesus the Nazarene. You have Yeshua HaNatsri. HaNatsri. And don't try to, well, I guess you can try to copy it, but there's a whole lot of Hebrew here for you to copy if you don't know very much Hebrew. But the Yeshua, the HaNatsri, the Nazarene, is your He. And then you have, and King, the Melech. And King, the Melech of the Jews, Hayudim. Hayudim. So you have above his cross, the first letter of each word was Yod, He, Vav, He. And I know that I'm not trying to be controversial. That's why I put this at the end. But I think what we can see is whether you believe that he actually was Yahweh or whether you believe he came in the authority of Yahweh. If he came in the authority of Yahweh, then here it is on the cross. It's like Yod Heh Vav Heh is citing it, saying, just like he said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. That this is done by my authority, by the authority of Yod Heh Vav Heh. Okay, and then the other one was Bereshit, Bara Elohim et HaShemayim et HaAretz. Genesis 1:1, and there you have that enlarged bed I was talking about, how the entire purpose of the Bible is to bring us back to his house. And if you look carefully, we can count the Alephs. There's one in Bereshit, then there's one in Bara, there's one in Elohim, and then you have Et, which is not translated in any Bible except Hebrew. Now, what is so special about that little word, et? Because it's the Aleph Tav. It was there before the foundation of the world. Yeshua was crucified before the foundation of the world. What does it say? He died before the foundation of the world for us. Okay? In the mind of God, it was already done. So the Aleph Tav. And then you have another one in the V'et. And then you have another one in Ha'aretz. So you have six altogether. So if you look at the very middle one here, the Aleph Tav, what word is that? Let's count our words. Bereshit, Bara, Elohim. So the fourth word is Et. After 4,000 years of earth, of history of the earth, Yeshua came the first time. And then you have HaShemayim is number 5. V'et is the sixth word. After 6,000 years of human history, he will come again. And it's going to be soon. Blessings, blessings, and thank you so much for coming.